The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anybody be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born from the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and the children are invited to join Renata out in the comfy chairs to read God Created. When I started looking at the text for the first reading today, the one about Isaiah in the temple, I was trying to imagine how Isaiah must have felt to see God, what he must have seen when he saw God and the smoke and just the complete otherness of God. And what occurred to me was Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, in the scene where they have the Ark of the Covenant and they open the Ark. And they open the Ark that they've found. And at first it appears to be empty, an empty gold box with some sand in the bottom. And then the spirits emerge, the angels emerge from it, and a pillar of fire reaches up to the sky. And at first, the bad guys are thrilled by the power that they see coming out of the ark that they now possess. And then their faces melt. I figured I'd better watch Raiders of the Lost Ark again for sermon prep, you see. And it wasn't quite, the special effects weren't quite as terrifying as I remembered them being. But that aside, it is terrifying to see the seraphs, these non-human angels, flying around, and all the bad guys dying. And Indiana Jones, though, knows the power of the Ark and tells the girl that's there with him to close their eyes so that they don't see God, so that they can survive. Because Indiana Jones knows that to see the presence of God means death. So the Ark of the Covenant, we go back, and after the Israelites had left Egypt, they followed God in a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God was concealed in this pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. And after that, Moses went up to Mount Sinai and was given the covenant on two stone tablets by God. So he brought these two stone tablets down from the mountain and built an ark to carry them in, a small vessel covered in gold, though, with the images of seraphs, kind of snake-like creatures with six wings, as Isaiah describes. And then to house the ark, they built a tabernacle, sort of a fancy tent around the ark to house the ark. And it was, that is where God resided for the Israelites as they wandered through the wilderness. And only Moses and Aaron could enter into this holiest of holies where the ark was kept. All the others, and there are plenty of stories of this in Leviticus and Numbers and Exodus. Anyone else who tried to enter would die. Centuries later, Solomon built the temple and made a permanent home for the ark. The temple was God's dwelling place, and the ark was seen to be God's throne. So we come to Isaiah in the temple, and Isaiah knows these stories from Exodus, how anyone who entered the Holy of Holies and saw the presence of God would die. And here's Isaiah in the temple, and he sees God. It's an all-consuming experience. All five senses are engaged. He sees God high and lifted up, so high, in fact, that God is not sitting on the ark, God's throne. Only the hem of God's robe fills the temple. God is high above. And Isaiah hears the seraphs calling back and forth to each other. The hymn that we sang this morning, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And he feels the temple, the whole earth shaking beneath him. And he smells and tastes the smoke. Isaiah is surrounded by God. The mystery of God, holy, mysterious, entirely other, beyond understanding, so far beyond our understanding, that no person can see God and survive. As Isaiah shouts, "Woe is me, for I am a person of unclean lips. I am doomed." But then one of the seraphs takes a burning coal from the altar and places it on his lips. And Isaiah is transformed. The seraph tells him that he is now pure so that he can see God and live. He then hears, only then, after having the coal touch his lips and being purified, being born again, can he hear God say, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And he responds with the famous words, "Here I am, send me," which we hear all the time in that beautiful hymn, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." Here I am, send me. But it's actually a pretty unusual statement. Normally, God calls a person by name, and that person says, "Nuh-uh, I'm not doing that." But Isaiah puts up his hand and says, "Hear me, I'm here, send me." Isaiah has been so transformed by seeing God that he dies to his old self and becomes an instrument of God. We see in the New Testament as well how seeing God transforms people. Sometimes it's fast and like Isaiah, and sometimes it's like Nicodemus in today's lesson. It's really, really slow. That whole conversation with Jesus, seeing Jesus face to face, and Nicodemus doesn't get it until much later in the Gospel of John. But the disciples who hang around with Jesus the whole time and sometimes get it and sometimes are bewildered. Eventually, last week at Pentecost, we celebrated how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they, like Isaiah, became instruments of God, members of the body of Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the members of the body of Christ, began to see signs and wonders everywhere, God's presence wherever they went. And they too became instruments of God, as we've heard in the book of Acts, describing all these amazing things, things more amazing than what Jesus himself did, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we too see God. God who is three times holy, 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 holy. God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a mystery. How God can be one and God can be three people at the same time. We experience God above us, God with us in Jesus, and God within us, the Spirit. We call this the Trinity, a mystery. And we understand that God is in relationship with God. And when we see this, like Isaiah, like the disciples, in God's time, we become instruments of God's mission, members of the body of Christ, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're in relationship with God and with all the other members of the body of Christ in the world. And as we will sing following this message, we join the dance of the God in three persons, the Holy Trinity, and we praise God, singing as we always do every Sunday when we have communion, "Holy, holy, holy God, high and lifted up, God in three persons, blessed Trinity." Amen.